Ladies and gentlemen, this brings me so much pleasure to say welcome back to the Art Dealers podcast. It's been flipping months, almost a year since I last said that. And I'm with an amazing friend of mine.
Yeah.
And I'll let him introduce shortly. But just before, I want to give a big shout out. And it's a huge honor for me. And it's quite a moment for me to be at the Spotify Greasy Tunes studio. So this is quite a big moment for me. Thank you for sharing it with me, my buddy.
Yeah.
And man, this is pretty epic, and I'm like super grateful. Low key emotional, not gonna lie to you. High key emotional, but this is really special, and I'm super excited. But my guest here today, please introduce yourself for the people.
Hey guys, if you're listening, watching, my name is Hungani, Hungani Ndlovu, and I am his buddy.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's me.
Amongst.
No, but really, I just wanted to say, like, this is pretty clean. This is pretty dope. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that we can have this conversation, because I feel like most of the time we try to make time outside of, like, work stuff, and it usually doesn't pan out in our favor.
Yeah, it sucks.
And now we have a cup of coffee.
We do.
And we can catch up.
Shout out to Coffee Club for that one.
Shout out to you.
I love that I needed to book time to record a podcast for us to, like, properly catch up, which is amazing.
It's crazy.
It the only way?
I don't know if that's amazing, but
we're both busy. You exceptionally are much busier than me, so it's, we know we have to take what we get. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we do what we do.
But Ngani, amongst the endless list of things that you do, I think a lot of people know you. Before that, I think if you're a long time listener of the Art Dealers, you'll know that you have been on before. In fact, Ngani was the fourth ever episode of the Art Dealers back in 2018.
I believed in you guys.
You did.
I still do.
You saw the vision, and I love it. I love it. We were just talking off air. Like, we were doing podcasts basically before the entire world had podcasts. I was saying to our friend Brett Jones, podcasts are like the new bands.
Yeah.
Like, everyone had a band back in like the 2000s, and now everyone has a podcast, which is awesome.
And if you don't have, they encourage you to have one.
That's legit. It really is awesome. And like, it's amazing that the space has been so accommodating, and that there's so many platforms like Spotify that allow for people to enter into the space so easily, which I think is awesome. And I'm like a frequent consumer of this stuff, so it's awesome that people have the accessibility as well. But like I said, you were like the fourth ever episode back, like, what was that, 5 years ago, 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
And now we're here. So this episode, I kind of wanted it to be somewhat of a sequel, but also a remake. You know when movies remake after 10 years?
Yeah.
So we're
better quality.
Better quality, much better quality. Yeah. I mean, not to be fair.
You guys were doing good.
We were pushing above our weight way back then. But now, I mean, this is like next level. So I'm like super happy. So I kind of want people to, and also a lot has changed for you, especially
drastically
back then compared to then. Also for myself, but this is not about me. And I think you probably have way more new fans as well who don't really know a lot about you outside of like the YouTube and dancing and music and acting and all that kind of stuff. So this also wanted it to be a space for people to also get to know you again or get to know you for the first time. And also just to be encouraging. I think you inspire me, so I was like, you know what, how do I share a lot of the knowledge you've shared with me to other people?
Sure.
So brief intro, who is Hungani Ndlovu for the people who, I mean, there's probably a very small handful who don't know you, but like for the people who don't know
man,
you.
Hey man, there's a lot of people.
Who is Hungani Ndlovu?
Who is Hungani Ndlovu? I think I've come to like the realization that like this question, a lot of the time, we lean towards the things that we do.
Mm.
And that doesn't necessarily define who I am, but defines what I do. And I think I've come to, I'd say the way I define who I am is more like a shapeshifter. Mm. Because in whatever kind of space I'm in, whatever the narrative is, not that I'm always challenging the narrative, but I think I always provoke some form of thought, you know. I think I'm a shapeshifter. But the things that I do and the places that I find myself involved in are things like acting, dancing, music as a DJ, and YouTube creator, content creator, some call it influencers or influencing. And yeah, I'm a father. I'm married to a very beautiful woman called Stephanie. If you don't know her, that's fantastic. But check out our YouTube channel, The Ndlovu's Uncut. And yeah, man, I think like being a shapeshifter has kind of got me to realize like the amount of influence I have in certain spaces.
Yep.
So not necessarily saying that I'm always going to be pushing to get whatever going, but it's just, I think I used to downplay my influence because like I'm still me, you know, regardless of the popularity and all of that kind of stuff. My family still really allows me to be myself, you know, like my dad will still ask me to take his socks off and his shoes off. Like I'm still his son, you know? So I think getting to that mindset of understanding the amount of influence that I have because of the platform that I have within society, in inverted commas, the shape-shifting kind of narrative has just made me allow other people to see that I'm just as ordinary as you are, but I might just be moving in a different way, but that doesn't mean that you can't move in that way. Yeah, so that's who I am, man. Very chilled guy. You know, I don't think we'd be friends if I wasn't chilled.
That's factual.
So yeah, that's me in a nutshell. Yeah, without really diving into my work and my resume.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, you touched on it now, like all those touch points you mentioned, acting, dancing, whatever it is. And I really wanted this to kind of be the focal point of this conversation. I often find I get a lot of DMs from people who want to get a step into the industry, as it were, especially from as probably podcasting being like their first step, and they'll be like, you know, how do I get started? And there's always like that fear, trepidation, because you immediately start to compare yourselves with like the top end podcasters or top end YouTubers or whatever it is, and you're like, oh man, I don't have the equipment and blah blah blah, and then it stops them from even attempting to release anything. And I often try and encourage people, like, listen, you have a cell phone, it's fine, like record with that. You start somewhere, you know what I mean? Rather like tick off that, okay, cool, I got it off the ground. And it's so much easier, at least I think it's so much easier to like progress once something has started. And now you being in the creative space, or the creative industry, as it were, entertainment industry, as a professional, this is your livelihood. Talk us through that journey of getting there. You know, obviously,
how much time you got?
It will have to be summarized, of course, but in a nutshell, what was like, oh, let me ask this question first before we talk about the journey. I think all of us have like that one moment where we're like, okay, cool, this can actually be like a career for me. What was like that moment for you where you were like, cool, I can do this?
You know, I mean, it's not a funny story, but funny thing is like, I was never going to be in this industry. Like growing up, this was never the plan. Even like high school, when you get to that point where you're choosing subjects, this was never the plan. And then 2011, April 16, I met this guy called Shelton Forbes. And he, at the time, was a backup dancer, choreographer, dance director for quite a few artists in South Africa. And like when Chris Brown, Trey Songz, all of these artists would come down to the country and perform, he would be the one that would organize for like the opening acts and stuff like that. So bumped into him by mistake because I got lost. I was going for a photo shoot. Like, you know, I don't know if you had this period on Facebook where like we all wanted to have these photo shoots with like guitars and scarves and like all these random objects. So I was going to a studio for that shoot. And then I got lost, bumped into Shelton at another studio, and I was like, oh, I see dance here. At the time, I was the hip hop dance club leader in school.
Let's go.
Shout out. And I was like, yo, what kind of dancing do you guys do? He's like, no, hip-hop, house, bourgeois, all of the stuff. I was like, damn, okay, wait, I'm looking for this place. Can I come back here like when I'm done with the photo shoot? And I was with my mom. So did the photo shoot, like 45 minutes, then went back, and I was like, whoa. So like, you make a living out of dancing? Long story short, got back home and sat my parents down, and I was like, mom was there. She heard it. Like, she can tell you, dad, like, she heard everything. She saw. And then, yeah, that's kind of like where it all started for me. And from then on, I started taking like more dance classes. I started taking acting classes because I wasn't even doing acting in school. Like, I wasn't doing drama or anything. In fact, I was doing backstage. I was the one who was setting up for the drama students to come and do their pracs. So, yeah, then I started taking classes. And literally by the time I was in grade 12, I realized that, no, I really like this thing. Mm-hmm. But I think I really liked it because it helped me deal with my emotions. Because, like, being in an all-boys school, I wasn't really able to express myself the way I wanted to because I was bullied quite, like, drastically. So by the time I was in matric, I was just like, yo, this is not for me. Mm-hmm. So dancing, acting, that was like almost like an escape. So that's pretty much how I found myself here. I think just like being able to find my emotions through characters helped me to deal with my own emotions.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate to that.
It's wild, man. It's wild. I think like we get so, I mean, boys, men in this country, the society that we have, like it's so difficult to really showcase your emotions. You know, you cry and you are called weak or whatever the case might be. I mean, you greet someone and you know the saying, tigers don't cry, boys don't cry, ukalaksizi, like all of these different things. And it's like, but it really does help, you know, like to let go of whatever burden you're holding or whatever stress or whatever that thing is, or even just to ask for help, you know? So I think being able to do that through characters was almost like, it's not really me, you know, it's the character that's going through this thing. But then in actual fact, I'm using my own emotions, you know, so it really helped.
And you even mentioned, I think even in like a South African context, I mean, we grew up, especially like our parents' generation and grandparents' generation, having to deal with like issues that are objectively just like quite hectic.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to get political or anything like that. But crying was like the last thing you could
yeah,
do.
Yeah. It's like, what's that going to help?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Mm. Totally. So, and you've also been in the space where these type of conversations have been quite prevalent. I mean, you've been involved with foundations, panels, whatever it is. So this is obviously something that's like very important to you. And this is kind of a not on the questions that I sent you earlier, but like, why is it important to be able to have like that expressive outlet? And maybe not from an emotional point of view, but just being able to express yourself outside of like the norms of like sports, or I mean, sports could be an outlet for you.
Yeah, sports is definitely one.
But being able to just express yourself in some way, fashion or whatever it is.
I think it helps one to be grounded, you know, or to be able to ground yourself, or to be able to regulate your emotions. You know, it's like when you have... I'm going to use this because I'm a father. Like my little one at like 6 months, for example, crying hysterically, there's no form of like communication that can happen for us to be able to understand each other very well right now. So how best can I help her regulate her emotions so that she can calm down, so that we can then figure out, does she want some food, does she want to take a nap, does she need to be changed, or whatever the case might be. So I think even for us in our adultness or our young adultness, whatever it might be, like to be able to express yourself just really helps you to be able to let go of some of the stuff that you're holding on to, some of the stuff you might not even know that you're holding on to, you know, like just the mere fact that you might be traveling from Soweto to Sandton every single day because that's where you work and that's where you live, like that on its own is its own stress. Yeah. You know, you might have to wake up at like 4 a.m. because you have to take a number of taxis to be able to get to work. But then by the time you get back home, it's already late, it's load shedding and it's water shedding. Mm. Like, it's a lot to deal with, you know, and like we have to be able to find ways to release some of that pressure because... For example, if you live in a situation where you still believe in the ideologies of a man must do X, a woman must do X. Now, as the man, and this is your household, yet you can't really take care of your household, not necessarily because of your fault, but because of the state of the country you live in. Like, you can't now be holding on to some of that stuff. Like, you genuinely can't do anything about it. It's out of your control. 100%. But yet you still point the finger to self, like, oh, okay, I got to get my family out of here. I got to do this. I got to do that. And it's like...
a lot of weight on your shoulders.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think it's just... it's important to be able to ground yourself so that you make decisions with a sound mind, sound heart, and not from an emotional point of view, because then nothing is, like, rational and so forth.
100%. Shifting gears slightly.
Yo, that got deep, like, super quick.
That was not that. That was not a question. That was amazing.
Segue.
Talking about expressing yourself, and especially now as a professional, I think getting your name out there is probably one of the most probably one of the things that hold back a lot of people entering the creator space, because you enter thinking like, man, I'm never going to get as big as Hungani Ndlovu, you know. I'm joking.
No, for real, And remember that name.
Thank you. And I think it even stops a lot of people from, like I said, even attempting to release that song or put out that YouTube video or that podcast or that dance freestyle or whatever it is, or like that football tape or that netball tape or whatever it is. What advice could you give to like aspiring people who, especially in the, obviously this is
focused. Don't compare yourself. Like, that's it, man. Like, I think comparison stops a lot of people, because like putting yourself out there can look different for all of us.
Yeah.
You know, like the way you do it is different to how I do it, is different to how Jobs does it, whoever, you know. And I think the minute you start saying, yeah, but look at Hungani, you don't even know when Hungani started. You know, like I might be saying, yeah, 2011, but who knows? Maybe, damn, I started in 2008 and I've been on the hustle. I just don't want you to know that I've been underground for so long. You know, I mean, I have friends in the industry who till today are like, man, I'm working on my 20-year overnight success. Because by the time they blow up, people are going to be like, oh my gosh, this person came out of nowhere. Right? But it's like, yo, this person's been in the industry since 1988. Or whatever the time, you know. So I think it's that
thing. People win the best new artist for the Grammys, but they've been singing for like 10 years.
And you're like, how sway?
How am I new?
So I think it's just that, like, don't compare yourself, because even like starting a podcast or dancing or whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're a chef, whatever it is that you're doing, you're not the first to do it, and you're not going to be the last to do it, but you'll be the only one who can do it the way you can do it, you know. And that's just that. Like, what offering are you bringing to the table? What skill set are you bringing to the table? What's unique about you, who you are and your upbringing, your life, all of that, the way you think, the way you process information, like all of that. Like, the reason why I like having conversations with you is because of how you think, you know. And it's like, how does the next person think who's going to have a platform? You know, so it's that. I mean, you listen to a podcast and then you stop listening because you're just like, you know. But you get engaged with a different podcast because you're like, oh man, the way this person just takes that question and then asks something else, like, it just, you know what I mean. So I think it's just that, like, comparison stops a lot of people. Also, we're in the era of like social media or the social revolution or whatever it's called, and that I think is like a huge hindrance on people who don't yet know how to use the platforms. Because like, people will be shocked when I say, yeah, I'm on social media like about maybe 4 to 6 hours of my day, but that's where I work. You know, but you could be there for 4 to 6 hours just scrolling, you know. So I think it's just that thing, because like, now you're scrolling through and everything you're seeing is all of these dance videos, and you're also a dancer and you haven't posted in like a month, and it's like, I might as well just stop, like, what's the point, you know? Or I'm not trending. And it's like, not everything is about trending, not everything is about being on top. Like, you might have 500 people that are following you, and out of that 500, you don't know who you're inspiring, you don't know who you're encouraging, you don't know who looks up to you and is like, man, one day I want to be there next to Karabo, him interviewing me like that. Like, if Karabo can interview me, like, my life, you know what I mean? So it's just that, like, don't compare yourself.
And I think another thing that I think stops a lot of creatives on this topic is rejection. And I think, in the sense of like, I'll use myself as an example. I do stuff like this for a living as well. And whenever I put something out to design or photography or whatever it is, I almost, it's a part of me. It's like, because this is how I choose to express myself. And if you're like, it's not really my favorite, I almost feel like it's a personal attack on me.
Yeah.
Which is something I've had to like properly like learn how to unlearn, you know what I mean? And not take it so personally and realize, you know.
Yeah, but also you have to remember, like, it's part of art. And art is subjective, man. Like, we can look at the very same piece of art and we'll see two different things. You know, you might be amazed at the texture and I'm just like, man, I don't understand why this thing is textured that way. You know, so I think, like, once you understand that what you're doing is an art form, even just this conversation, someone might not vibe with it. That's on them and whatever they situation and where they find themselves, etc., etc., etc. It doesn't mean that you're not a good person who can create conversation, or you're not a person who can interview well, or whatever the case might be. I think, like, when you have, like, now I'm on Scheme Sound. this role is a recast from someone else that was playing the character.
Yes.
There's a whole bunch of negative stuff on social media, but there's also a whole bunch of positive stuff on social media. It's art.
Mm.
That's what's going to happen. You choose what you engage with. Literally, I retweet almost every single positive thing and I laugh at every single negative thing,
yeah.
You know, because it's funny. Because it's like, I chose this offering. I prepared. I did this. I went on set. I did it this way. And I was like, man, some people might get it. Some people might not get it. And that's the reality of it. You know, you might take a picture of something and you framed it well. You did all of the right stuff. You know, you got your depth. You've got everything in place. And then someone's like, or someone else is like, man, this is so amazing. How did they even do the composition of this whole thing?
Yeah.
You know, so once you realize that what you're doing is art, man, you're good.
Mm. I have a couple more questions before we end. I wish we could talk for longer.
I can talk for days.
I will say, what do you think are the most common misconceptions, especially about the industry you find yourself in, the entertainment industry especially? I think people obviously have their opinions. They think it's just...
It's
glamorous. Rock up on set, do your lines, go home type of thing. Yeah. You know what I mean? But being in the industry for as long as you've been in, what are the kind of common misconceptions that you'd like to debunk?
I think the first one is that we're not recognized, primarily actors, we're not recognized by the Department of Employment and Labor.
Mm.
So essentially, I'm just doing my hobby and I'm being paid for it.
Mm.
So that on its own then goes into like the laws and regulations, legislation, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, we're operating under acts that were created in 1968, 1972, and like TV was barely a thing. Streaming was not even a concept. Internet was not even a concept. Like DVDs were not even a concept. And it's like, how is it that in our country we are still having performers and all of these different kind of acts doing things that are under the protection that doesn't protect them? You know, you can't protect me if your laws do not cover the internet.
Yeah.
You can't protect me if your laws do not cover streaming and DVDs and all of these other stuff. So I think once people understand that we don't have a regulated industry, then you'll understand that we don't have an industry, you know, because if you look at, like, let's just take the US, for example, that industry, because it is an industry, contributes about 10% of the whole country's GDP, whatever, you know, those stuff that they call up. Yeah, those stats and stuff. So I think, like, it really, because people are so focused on what it looks like from the outside, they don't really learn what the inside is all about. And once they get in, then it's like, oh, damn, it's like this?
Mm.
But because they're in it, now they portray the very same image that they saw that drew them in it.
Yeah.
You know, and then you have people in debt because they have to drive a fancy car because they are on a TV show.
Mm.
Or you have people in debt because I have to wear fancy clothes because I'm a celebrity. And it's like, nah, B. You don't have to. I mean, I had a conversation with another guy. I'll protect his nakedness. And he basically hires drivers and security guards when he MCs at gigs. And he pays them from the pay that he receives from those gigs.
Yeah.
So instead of walking away with, for example, 15,000 Rand for MCing for 2 hours, he'll walk away with like 2.5, maybe 3,000 Rand because he's got to pay for the hired car, he's got to pay for the driver, and
security.
He's got to pay for the security. I'm like, bro, you don't have to pitch up like that.
Mm.
You can literally Uber,
yeah.
arrive, do your thing,
carpool,
and go home.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's really not. But because of mindset-wise and, like, what you think people think about you, like, for example, he feels like when he arrives like that, he gets respect. I'm like, but that's what you think.
Mm.
To someone else, it's just like, oh, yo, this person's got money to be doing all of that stuff,
yeah.
Yet you actually don't.
Mm.
And then you get home and you still complain about the fact that, man, it's so tough out here. But yet you just spent 15,000 Rand on stuff you didn't need to spend on, you know? So I think, like, yeah, I could talk for days. But I think, like, once you understand what we don't do necessarily because of the money, not in this country. I mean, the US right now, SAG-AFTRA and the Writers Guild are striking.
Yeah.
Why? Because they pretty much are having a similar situation where it's like, we're not paid fairly. Mm. You know, AI is coming in and they're wanting to scan our faces and our bodies and to use our image forever, but only pay us for that one day that we're on set. And it's like, if they are dealing with that, bro, we don't even have laws that are protecting us now. So by the time AI is literally being used here, like, we're so screwed. Mm. So I think, like, people have to educate themselves regardless of the industry you want to be in. But our industry is really, really behind, like, really behind.
Mm. Interesting. And to end off, you know, you are now on a new show. Amazing. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
I don't think I've had an opportunity to tell you. And but yeah, what have you been up to lately? Also, you're a dad as well, which has been amazing. You have the cutest baby on the planet.
Right.
Oh, my word.
Like, no jokes.
Bro, you know, I wouldn't lie to you. I really wouldn't. She is adorable. And no, honestly, your wife, Steph, also a good friend of mine. You guys are incredible. Also super busy. Like, she literally couldn't be here because she's also crazy busy.
She's on set right now.
Literally. So what have you been up to lately? You guys also have a YouTube channel. You're all over the show. You're DJing.
I think, you know, like, the DJing stuff is, that's really just, like, passion stuff. Like, I don't DJ a lot. Like, I'm not, like, on a tour and, like, DJing every single weekend and I'm out, like, coming back at, like, no, I'm not. This is literally just passion. So what I've been busy with is Scheme Sam, which is the new show. That's been, like, taking up some of my time. But our YouTube channel, we're back up. We took like a 2-month break, but we're back up. And we just recently released a trailer of a short film that we're releasing called Love Locked, which is just like super exciting. So we did this actually quite a while ago during COVID 2020, like one of, I think it was like level 4 when we still had like those hard lockdowns. It was just me and my wife at home. We got a director involved, camera guy and all of that. And there was not even a sound guy because, yeah, the way the film is done is it doesn't need sound. It's not a silent film. But, yeah, when we release it, it will make sense. And I think, like, now we're kind of pushing with our production company, Then Gloves Uncut Productions, because we see the industry and where things are at. And where change needs to happen. And being part of the South African Guild of Actors as an EXCO member, like, I'm part of people who go to Parliament and meet with like different political parties to try and change the narrative and the laws and the regulations that we have. Like, tomorrow I've got a meeting with the DA, for example. Not so long ago I had one with EFF. And it's like, because of that, our production company, what we're trying to do is change the narrative before the laws become what they are, to show people that it's possible. You know, it's not impossible for actors to get royalties. Like, that's not an impossible task, you know. So that's what we're pushing right now. We're working on a few projects, which is very exciting. And yeah, I think, like, out of everything that I'm doing, what's like really, really I think, like, in my heart is our production company and my acting work. I think my acting stuff took a break for like about 2 years, but now I really want to show people that, you know, your boy's got this, you know, and we're here to take things to the next level. You know, if you enjoyed me on ETV Scandal, trust, we're bringing some more heat on Scheme Sam. Okay. So that's where it's at.
Nice, bro.
Yeah.
Brother, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your time. I'm going to link all of your links.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. Show notes. If you're listening on Spotify, shout out to Greasy Tunes again for this amazing space.
Yeah, no, this is really a dope space.
It's really, really nice. And if you guys want to start a podcast, Spotify literally has a platform called Spotify for Podcasters.
Oh, nice.
And it is the easiest way to like start a podcast. It is unbelievably easy. It used to be called Anchor. So for people who maybe have been in the podcasting game for a while, Anchor is now Spotify for Podcasters, and it is one of the most accessible platforms for new creators as well. So if you are super keen to join, honestly, Google it, and the getting started is super, super easy.
I'm starting my podcast after this.
He's going to start one.
No jokes.
But yeah, guys, thank you so much. Thank you, Ngani. Thanks, Spotify. Bro. Guys, check you soon with our art dealers. We're back, hopefully. And we'll see you guys soon. Peace out.
This is nice.
yeah.